In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, was being celebrated in Jerusalem, and Jesus was there. This feast served as a national holiday, reminding the Jewish people of their victory over King Antiochus some 200 years earlier. Antiochus had tried to put an end to Judaism. He set about destroying the scrolls of Scripture, and he set about transforming the temple into a house of idols. Judas Maccabee led an uprising, and against all odds, he was successful. The temple was restored and rededicated. The Scriptures survived. On these scrolls of Scripture, written in Hebrew script, were God's promises to His people and His promises to a people yet unborn. We are those people. We are the heirs who have received the inheritance of His Word, the scrolls of His promises, and it is they that speak of Jesus. On those scrolls, written in Hebrew script, God is often spoken of as our shepherd. You know Psalm 23 well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But also Psalm 95, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And also the prophet Ezekiel, you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. It may seem strange to our modern ears that Jesus would call Himself a shepherd and compare His followers to sheep. A sheep is not exactly something I aspire to be, nor is this exactly the way to win friends and influence people, we might think. But in His way, Jesus is teaching us exactly who He is. The Lord is my shepherd, we say. I am your shepherd, Jesus says. And so now you can see why so many of the Jews accused Him of blasphemy and tried to kill Him. Jesus didn't need to recite to them the Nicene Creed. By simply saying, I am the good shepherd, He was saying nothing less than, I am the Lord your God. What the Father does, the Son does also. The Father and the Son are one. This may seem like a theological truth, important enough, but a theological truth that has very little bearing on your everyday life. But in fact, and on the contrary, there is no truth more important for your everyday life. And here's why. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever wrapped their mind around God. God is incomprehensible. In your everyday life, God is incomprehensible too. You experience good things and evil things in yourself and in your family. You experience good things and evil things in the world. But what in the world does God mean by all this? In sickness or pain, in depression or anxiety, where is God? Who is God? When you are suffering, well-meaning people will tell you that God is teaching you something, or that God is using this, or that God will show His glory in this. How do they know that? How do they know what God actually intends toward you or anyone else. God is incomprehensible. In fact, when we attempt to comprehend or to understand God in the good and evil that we experience, in the blessing and cursing, in the joy and sorrow of our everyday lives, the fact of the matter is, He doesn't reveal Himself to us. As we look for Him, the more we look for Him, the more incomprehensible He becomes, the more all impossible to understand. When we attempt to see God in the good and evil of the world, well, we need look no further than the blood-stained streets of Boston or the scarred skyline of New York to realize that we don't know God or understand Him. God has hidden Himself from us. No one has ever seen God, the scriptures say. God hides Himself so that we cannot see Him. Not with our eyes, not with our intellect, not with our feelings. Why is it that God hides Himself this way? No one has ever seen God, the scriptures say, but the one and only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. God hides Himself from us in all things because He wants to reveal Himself to us in one thing, His Son. God only makes Himself known to us in the person of Jesus. So you experience both good and evil in yourself, both good and evil in the world. What does God mean by this? Is He for you or is He against you? Now in these last days, God has spoken to you by His Son. God's answer to your questions is Jesus. Where is God? Who is God? Look to Jesus and you will know. Look to the innocent one who so loves you that He lays down His life for you. Look to the one who bleeds from the cross to wash away all your sins. Look to the one who rose from the dead on Easter, giving you a hope and a future. The scriptures say, in this the love of God is made known among us, that God sent His only Son into our world so that we might live through Him, so that you might have life through Him. Now, today, every day, in this, the scriptures say, is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The scriptures say that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to see God, then don't try to look for God. In the words of John, no one has ever seen Him. In the words of Paul, He is invisible. If you want to see God and know God, then look to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. The Father and the Son are one. There is no greater truth for your everyday life. God reveals Himself to you. God reveals His thoughts toward you. only in Jesus. Jesus crucified for you. Jesus risen for you. And in Jesus, you will also see that evil is already coming undone. At the Feast of Dedication, in the dead of winter, Jesus walked in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, sheltered from the winter winds. The Jews gathered around him and said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, Jesus had already told them plainly numerous times. His works and his words showed that he is the Messiah, that he and the Father are one. But you see, they wanted God apart from Jesus. At its heart, that's what unbelief really is. Wanting God, seeking God, trying to understand God without Jesus. "I told you, and you do not believe," Jesus said to them. "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews wanted God apart from Jesus. We will have no other God but Jesus. He and the Father are one. How sure is your salvation? Amidst all of life's changes, amidst all of the struggles that you endure, how sure is God's love for you? So sure that he has taken it all out of your hands entirely, and he has put it all in Jesus' hands. Every part of your life is in his hands. You are in his hands, and no one can snatch you away. For Jesus' hands are God's hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.